I love this topic, spirit-centered life. I thought probably I would point out, for those of you who don't know, is there anyone who doesn't know that I wrote a book about vision?
I didn't get to read it.
And it's on the internet. I don't actually print it anymore. It's a website, and it's ConnieChandler.com, and it's the very first thing on the menu called A Gift of Vision. And all of the visions that I've had are there, and it's my way of sharing what I've seen that feels to me like it's answers to questions I had about living. And they may or may not apply to other people. But the way I've seen has shown me such an expansive vision of what the world is and who we are and what we can be and do and have in life that I felt inspired to share that journey with other people, not in the hope that I would be so much a teacher for others as perhaps an inspiration to others to allow their own vision and their own connection to Source to be expressed in some way. Because if we are truly God expressing, and I believe that we are, the capacity to express is inherent in our very being. There is some way that we uniquely express life that it is not expressed anywhere else. And when Ernest Holmes was in the last 10 years of his life, he was reading Sri Aurobindo's a Hindu master's book called The Divine Life. David bought it for me for Christmas once. It's 1,000 pages long and very tiny print, and I was really glad that Ernest Holmes read it and told me what it said, because I found it difficult to read. But what he said is that we are here for the delight of God. We are here expressing the divine life for the delight of God. That we are here to love and to appreciate and to experience life at a very high level. That good flows to us, and that accepting that good and living from that place of abundance and wellness and wholeness and grace is truly the purpose of our being here. And that it is not a choice of either a human life or a divine life, but rather that a human life is a divine life. That we are able to live and be in that expansive state. And what Ernest Holmes said is, loose the boundaries of your sense of self and let in more spiritual territory. There is such mystical teaching in Ernest Holmes' writings in the last 10 years of his life. It was like he got to be 50 years old and the world started looking very different from him, from all of his experience of what came before. And he really began to write about what it meant to live as oneness and to teach from his knowing, not only all of his wisdom that he'd accumulated from everyone else, but from his own experience. And that's why I am still more inspired by Ernest Holmes than anyone else, because he is the kind of teacher that I want to be. He taught from his own experience, his own love, his own study, his own synthesis of other studies, and his own discernment of what that meant within himself. At one time, somebody told me, and I've never actually seen this in exactly these words from Holmes, which is a wonderful expression of Holmes, because he never quoted anybody in exactly the words they used either. It's been a delight to me to discover that as I've paraphrased Holmes over the years. But what my first minister told me is that what Science of Mind teaches is that no one can tell you what's true for you except you. That there is that within us that knows. And Holmes spoke around that theme many, many times, even if he didn't use those exact words, that there is that within us that knows, and we can know what that is. We can be in that knowing and know it ourselves. The words come in different ways at different times from different teachers, but the way Abraham said it that I found very powerful is one time in talking to me when I was asking them questions, they said, "Source thinks. And when you get into the upper registers of joy and bliss, you'll start getting an avalanche of thought coming forth from Source that just bowls you over. It gives you life. Source is life, you see. Source thinks in our minds when we are connected and joyful." So this whole theme that I've been developing in my own life over the last 3 months or so is that what we're discovering more and more as we get more and more connected ourselves to that divine life that we are, then we begin developing the games that connected people play together. And one of the things that when I was listening to Reverend Harriet's talk last time on visioning on the tape, what I was really inspired by was Reverend Harriet saying that she perceives that I have a vision for Sterling Study Group. And when I heard her say that, I didn't think she was right, because I was feeling that with all of the changes that have taken place in the study group and all of the people who have moved on, who are part of the development of the original vision of the study group, I was feeling like we don't have a cohesive vision now for what the study group is to be in the future. That the things that we began 3.5 years ago have been lived out. We have been a circle of love centered in spirit. We have learned to let go in love and to see more circles developed. But what is it that we're here to do now? What is it that we're here to do now? And one of the things Reverend Harriet said was that for every group there is a single vision. And that when we do visioning, we're looking to develop that single idea that spirit has for this group. And as I thought about it, I thought that doesn't follow my experience with the Big Sky Retreat. That it's the individual visions of each person contributes to a collective vision emerging that doesn't come, in a sense, from just God being imposed from the outside upon the group, but rather is a vision that the people who are drawn to the group inspire for themselves and for each other. And so I began thinking about the history of the Big Sky Retreat. Oh, it's an annual retreat that takes place every year in September. It's been going on for 30 years. I've been going for 17. And it's divine science, religious science, both RSI and UCRS and Unity churches. Ministers from those groups came on to a board with chiropractors and other alternative healers to develop a wholeness consciousness based in new thought and alternative healing. And we meet at Big Sky, Montana, on the top of a mountain every year in September. And so I had been looking to see what I could learn from the Big Sky model of visioning. And David reminded me yesterday that the original vision of the Big Sky model is on the website. David is the webmaster for Big Sky Retreat. And so I went back to reread the vision, which came from the opening speech of the retreat president and founder, Reverend Al Hurd, in 1976 at the very first retreat. And Reverend Al was a Native American and a Unity minister. And this was what was in his first talk of his vision for the retreat. "We are discoverers and creators of meaningful spiritual values on a journey of the self," self capital S, "expanding our vision and consciousness as spiritual beings. We provide an atmosphere of healing, encouragement and love in an inspired natural setting." That's the vision of the Big Sky Retreat. And a couple of years ago, Reverend Al made this transition a few years after the retreat started. So he, while he was the founding visionary of the retreat, he wasn't the one that carried on the retreat for the 30 years that it's been going on. Other people came forward to carry the vision. And a few years ago, we had a panel talking about the history of the retreat. And Betty Bogart, who is a practitioner from Salt Lake City, who single-handedly ran the retreat for 22 of the 30 years it ran. I mean, she did everything. She did the mailing list, she did the registration, she did the programs, and she had a board that made suggestions for speakers, but basically Betty did everything else. She single-handedly made the retreat happen for 22 years. And when we asked, what was the vision of the retreat that you were living, Betty? She said, I wanted to go play in the mountains with my friends. And I realized that for me, that was an even more profound vision than Reverend Al's. That was the vision that moved the retreat forward for 22 years and made it actually physically happen in the world. And so with that model, I thought back on what Reverend Harriet had said about my having a vision for Sterling Study Group. And I realized that I didn't need to be the visionary for the whole group, that if I spoke my vision clearly and everyone else spoke their vision, that the group would manifest itself in a profound and wonderful way. So I did put into words this morning my vision of this group in a way that's way bigger than ever I have expressed it before. And my vision of Sterling Study Group is a place to play with my friends in the consciousness of we are God expressing. And what does that look like in the world? That's what brings me here and has brought me here every week for 3.5 years now. Because that consciousness, I am that I am, the Christ consciousness, is what Ernest Holmes taught in spiritual mind treatment. It is the compelling excitement and passion of my life to experience what that truly means, to allow that consciousness to unfold, and to go experience nature, to live in the beauty of this physical life, and know the fullness, the wholeness of my being. Not as either or, but as both and. This is what I am, and I live from that space. And I don't have too many role models who express that really clearly. Ernest Holmes expressed it more clearly than anyone I've ever seen in the last 3 books that were compiled of the things he said in the last 10 years of his life. The books are known as the Holmes Papers 1, 2, and 3, and it's Anatomy of Healing Prayer, Philosophy of Ernest Holmes, and Ideas of Power. Those 3 books talk about what he was thinking about in those last 10 years. And in those books he said things like, I am more teachable now than I was 40 years ago. And that, at that time I thought I knew it all. And that's, of course, in the time when he was writing Creative Mind and eventually the textbook. He became more and more open at the top as he expanded in his consciousness and he expanded his ability to accept this consciousness that he inspired by doing treatment every day and saying, God is this and I am that. And what does that mean? And every time we do a spiritual mind treatment and we do step one and we say God is, and we expand that as dramatically, as far out as we can possibly imagine of what God is, and then we say step two, and I am that. It takes my breath away. When I really do it right, it blows me away about what it says about what I am and what we are. And Holmes told us in so many specific ways. He said, "You and I cannot announce our greatness without including the greatness of everything that lives. Something forevermore blinds our eyes to the perception of the self unless it interprets itself everywhere. I can only know the glory of my being if I'm seeing the glory of being in everyone, in all the diversity, in every place, in the whole universe. And as I accept that truth, that that is what we are, then my ability to perceive shifts." And basically all we're talking about is a shift of perception. We are not talking about creating ourselves to be something we weren't to begin with. We're talking about perceiving that all of this, the wholeness of God as us, has been here all along. It is the truth of who we are. And so we're developing the sensitivity to see it, the ability to move up in the steps of consciousness that I talk about endlessly, from the adrenaline-based metabolism to the place of chemical neutrality in the body, where the nervous system develops greater sensitivity, where the forebrain develops more than it ever has before. And this takes place at any time in life that we move into this chemical space of allowing that beauty to be expressed, that wholeness to be expressed, that truth to be expressed, that is who we really are. And every little step we take in experiencing ourselves in that way more and more helps develop the chemical environment and the structures in our body that allow that expansion of consciousness to take place. So I think it is an evolution, and it's a conscious choice. Holmes said we are in the place of conscious evolution, that we choose to move ourselves forward in the consciousness that allows us to become more fully expressed as God expressing in our lives. And we can do it consciously. We don't have to eliminate ourself in order to do it. Holmes was talking about Peggy Lee one day, I think. He just said a singer in the book, but from what I've heard from people who were in the history of the movement, they say he was talking about Peggy Lee. And she came to him and she said, "I want to sing the best concert I've ever sung tomorrow because you'll be there." And he said, "You will sing the best concert you've ever sung tomorrow, not because I'm there, but because you are God singing." And when he was talking about her, he said, "This is God singing. It isn't an imitation of God. It doesn't obliterate her individuality. It is the only thing that accentuates it. It is the only thing that permits it." By knowing that truth of us, that we are God living, that we are God loving, that we are God singing, that we are God expressing, in whatever powerful way we are inspired to do it, that is the truth of us. And as we do that, our bodies change, our lives change, everything around us changes to support the continued evolution of that experience. And that's what I want this group to be about. That, more powerfully than anything else, is my inspiration for being here. I want other people to talk to who want to live from that place in consciousness. And other people can have their vision of what this group is about. And Abraham once said, they were talking to a woman and she was asking about relationships. And they have a concept called creation box, where you put everything you want in your life, in your creation box, and then you let the universe deliver it. And the woman said, "In a relationship, is there my creation box and his creation box and our creation box?" And Abraham said, "No, there's only your creation box and his creation box. And if you each individually put into your creation box the perfection of your life, the universe can deliver it. But it's your trying to take something out of his box that's messing up yours," and vice versa. So I believe collectively as Sterling Study Group, we can all experience our vision. if we each individually get clear and put in our creation box and tell the universe, I want this in my life. And this group will expand and be the experience of that consciousness. Perhaps it will contract in numbers rather than expand in numbers. Perhaps it will grow beyond any idea that we've ever had. But that's not our problem. Our problem is deciding what part of this experience is ours to experience. What do we come here for? What are we looking for? Do we want hugs and soft touches? Do we want wonderful music? That's on my list too. Do we want, you know, exciting people who have great ideas? What is it we're looking for? And as each of us are willing to take the whole of us into that question, the answers will come in powerful and magnificent ways. Because I know that because I trust this process. If there are people here who are willing to vision together, this group will be extraordinary, whatever the form looks like. And the form, I'm willing for the form to change. I am not invested in this room, in this place, in this pentagon. It can move, it can change, it can grow or shrink, but I want people to play with in the consciousness of I am God expressing. And that's my truth. And I'm sticking with it. And I'm passing to you.
Well, I got pretty revved up over the past week. I don't know why, but I suddenly had a major shift in awareness about the study group. And it came about because I was thinking about visioning and my resistance to group visioning. And all of a sudden, one day I was walking into Connie's house, and I looked down the street and I saw Harriet and John's house with a sold sign on it, or under contract rather. And all of a sudden, I just knew that the Sterling Study Group has been wildly successful, and will, as far as I'm concerned, will continue to be wildly successful. And I thought for a long time that because people were moving on and moving elsewhere, that perhaps we had somehow failed because we weren't creating a cohesive community. But the truth of the matter is that we have the ability to teach people to live their dreams and to support one another. And I have gotten so much of that through this group. I just, you know, when I sit down and make lists of all the things that I'm grateful for, this group has supported me in so many ways in seeing that vision for myself. So I wanted to talk about how I perceive, you know, working with visioning on an individual level. I believe that we there are many techniques for visioning, and I want to start out with a quote from Holmes in his book, The Magic of the Mind. To think, to pray, means that we reach out and touch the center of the universe and open our minds so the flood of infinite creative energy that is God pours in and through our thought. And I thought to myself, to me, that's what visioning is. It's allowing myself to channel myself, to become, you know, when Holmes talks about the mold that keeps increasing, that allows us to hold more and more good in our lives, that this is the purpose of visioning, is to increase that mold so that it becomes ever greater. So two of the techniques I personally use for visioning is treasure mapping, which we do as a community every year, and also scripting, which is something that it's a term that I picked up from the Abe list, and it refers to simply writing about the future as though you were right there. And maybe Connie has a more detailed definition of this, but I use it very frequently, and sometimes I'll just sit and write for about 15 minutes, and there are some examples that are available through the AbrahamHicks.net, the processes page on scripting, and they're really beautiful. And what I got from a good visioning document is that it's fresh, whenever you read it, you feel like you're newly awakening. It feels good when you read it. It's written in the present tense. You feel uplifted, and you also feel connected to Source. And I went through and read a lot of my old visions, and I could see different vibration as I read through them. Some of them I can tell I'm trying to get myself out of a stuck place. And then there are other documents that I have written that were incredibly mind expanding. And I read what I first started doing this back in 1998, and I read one that I had written then, and I had just kind of laid it aside and really don't go back and read these over and over again. But mm-hmm. I looked and I realized that it was though I had created the foundation of a house by visioning like this and scripting it all out. I have in many ways manifested this in my life without going back and referring to it all the time. And every time I read it, it still rings of truth to me. So a couple of techniques I wanted to suggest that are good for getting started on this, because I'm so enamored of this process and I do it as often as I can. I usually try to start out, if I'm feeling a little resistant to writing, if I had it my way, wouldn't it be nice? And I use I am a lot in this. I don't write about other people so much as I am, or I am feeling, or it is so nice. And I want to recommend that to each one of us here, that's mm-hmm. If you try that technique, it really helps with building your mold so that it increases and keeps increasing. Thank you.
Thank you.